Ahoy there, landlubbers! Whispers in the Sea is an actual play series drawing elements from stories of fantasy horror, political drama, and swashbuckling action and adventure pirate stories. As such, a list of content warnings will always be made available in the description.
You can always tell when Bluecoat's around, not just because they're kind of arrogant and like let you know that they're around. For some reason, whenever enough of them have gathered, there's this sound of chains rattling, almost as if each of their wrists and ankles were shackled by something invisible. And you can hear that clanking now, as one by one, they all begin marching out of this ship and onto the docks, pouring out, standing in formation as their captain steps out of the ship. Sergio is holding the case of a scroll. There's nothing special about it, at least visually, but you know it must be something. By the way that Sergio's lips curl into a smarmy grin as he holds it up between the two of them and says,
This is the good stuff.
The instant he wraps the wire around Sergio's neck, he just immediately says to Stephanie, so please don't panic about this. I don't think either of us really care about this one here. I do care about that scroll. I would also like to take a lot of things from this room, if that's okay.
As you're doing that, he's just like in between your Geralt, just struggling, like trying to reach back. But you're trained at this. You are so good at this specific thing. And he's struggling, but he's slowly, his life is slipping away from him as this is happening.
Okay, two options. We can either go in, try to fight these people and figure out what's going on, or we can go.
Captain, take Bryn back to the ship. If that sounds good to Bryn.
I could do something like this. And Bryn kind of quickly steps over and starts to phase through the wall into the backer portion of the room.
From behind where Estefania is staring at you and questioning you, Felix, you see Bryn kind of phase in through the wall.
Felix just goes, oh, hello, Bryn.
Hi, Felix.
Stephanie turns, what the, and draws out what you assume to be a dagger at first, but turns out to be a book.
That's somehow way scarier.
Pulls out a book, opening its pages. I will not be killed here.
I know this as a reasonably fair establishment, though it has its quirks. What could be going on? Is there property in danger? Are we worried about the civilians? I can help.
From inside of the storage closet, you all heard the sounds of marching and then stopping, and then you started hearing the muffled Thorin kind of trying to talk his way, and I think there's a moment where the three of you just kind of have this back and forth look what is happening? And then there's a moment where you just hear, hey, isn't that Ravenwing? As you are heading back out of the hallway that you came from, you run into Captain Hanno running back in your direction, who goes, nope, don't go that way, and grabs your arm and tries to take you a different way as you see another group of naval officers running in the direction that is from the docks.
Avery Morrigan, what are you doing over here?
So good to see you. Oh my goodness. Oh,
so good to see you. And she brings you into this tight hug. Last I heard, you were rubbing shoulders with big boys or something like that, right?
Oh, just business with the trading company. You know how it is. There's something of concern in the area that I thought might be worthy of your attention. These people, they've been carrying crates all over the area and dropping them down. I know there was at least a dozen or more that have been scattered around this area, and I don't know what they are.
And Gabriella kind of nods for them to open it. And you see one of them reaches for their sword, sticks it into the crate, and begins to start trying to pry it open.
So you either can try and make it out with us or go in the cuffs of the Bluecoats, and I don't think they'll take too kindly to someone of your stature.
Fine. But we're not going back to your ship. We're going to mine.
That may cause some issues, but we'll discuss it in time. I can make that work for now.
You see her reach inside of her robe and take out what looks like a black tube that has, like, paint splatter on it, and takes her other hand to pull a string that's on the bottom of it, and you see this almost like a firework shoot out straight at this group of six people who are like ready to charge in, and it explodes into a cloud of multicolored smoke.
And runs.
Felix runs too. Felix says, neat trick.
The three of you go sprinting and then like diving into this pool where it most certainly is deeper than it seems. And I imagine you all go for a swim. We're going to cut over to Captain Hanno and Thorin and Aldoras. The two of you are sprinting down the hallway a couple of yards in front of I said there were a half a dozen people after her. There were half a dozen people after you. So there are a dozen people like charging yards behind you all through the hallways of this fort.
The first thing that, you know, that I would just say is like, oh no, we cannot go back to the ship with them still on us.
Yeah, no, I get it. I get it. 100%. I get it. But we gotta get away from them first.
No shit.
Okay, yeah, thanks. You're so great help, Thorin. Thank you. What are we doing? What are we going to do? There's so many rooms in here. We could fight them. I'm not against fighting them.
We can't fight 12.
Fair. Okay. There are lots of rooms.
Go inland.
We got to get out of here first.
After.
We have to get out of here. How do we get out of here?
I think at this point, because Thorin is... still, I mean, Thorin is angry and still has that. I don't think he's particularly amused by anybody.
Yeah.
I think he feels he's not entertaining her bullshit. And he just stops talking to her and just kind of runs to take the lead. And we go until we hit an issue. We hit an issue, we go the other way. Until we happen to hear something.
Okay, cool. Give me a break in or out roll.
Okay. 8.
Okay, on an 8, choose one from the break-in or out list, and I will also choose one. You suffer harm or weakness, you hop from the frying pan to the fire, you lose track of something important, you leave evidence or attract attention.
This feels familiar. I'll take more harm.
You are exhausted. When rolling with blood, roll 3 dice and take the 2 lowest. To cure it, you need an extended rest. So that is the weakness you're going to take as the two of you are running. And for my choice, I'm going to choose you lose track of something important. I think as the two of you are running, there becomes a point where there's like a split and like there's like a point where you can take multiple directions. And both you and Hanno say 2 different things. Listen to the thing that you say and then take those directions. And now you and Captain Hanno have split up. Good news. It also does split up the amount of people chasing you. So now there are only 6 people chasing you down the hallway. And you do eventually make your way back out, back into the area of the docks and such. You are on the upper level looking down at the rest of the docks in this split fort. You now see where all of the other like ships had started to leave. There are still people around. The vast majority of them are Navy soldiers, blue coats. There are six of them along the stairs in front of you leading down, and there are a couple of them and a Navy ship. You probably don't even immediately recognize it as a Navy ship. It looks like a turtle ship down there. You see your ship down off to the left. You see the painted fleet ship still here and like a couple of others as well. But this place is now teeming with Navy soldiers.
So the description is I'm even more fucked than I thought.
The naval soldiers on the stairs have not noticed you yet. But the six soldiers that are following you are beginning to catch up.
How are the docks built?
So there are two docks, both of them flanking this river that splits this building in half. They just go into the river so that people can go either out towards the sea or further inland towards the actual city.
We see Thorin running down the docks. He looks over at Eldoris for a second, and we see her rise up and pull backwards. And she just kind of goes somewhere. We then see Thorin jump off of the docks and disappear under the water.
Okay, cool. I just want to make sure that we're clear about this. That you are running to jump up over and, like, go down, like, three stories into the water.
This is not the first time me and Eldoris have done this maneuver. Eldoris knows to kind of go inland because you don't go to the ship when you're being in pursuit. She knows that. I know that. I get under the docks and basically flay my body underneath the docks to where I can breathe, where there's that little bit of air pocket. And I wait there until later.
Cool. Awesome. It does seem like you're trying to hoodwink them. Let's do that. You are rolling polish.
Okay. That's plus one for me.
What'd you get?
That's a 5.
Okay. Get one experience point. I'm going to say that the failure here is that you just took a 3-story jump. I'm going to give you 2 harm for that.
Whatever.
As you're diving into the water. Full on. So I think the shot of this is great, actually. Avery, you are down here with Gabriella. You are down here with Gabriella and these two other blue coats as they're like trying to pry open this crate, as you like start to hear commotion coming from up above and like the sound of like running. And as you and Gabriella turn to look, you see Thorin running and like soaring over as he has cleared all of the landings in front. And like, what is like a superhuman feat? I do want to be so clear about this, because this is like a multi-tier, so like it's slanted this way. So he is clearing all of this in order to, I'm almost imagining that like the point in which Eldoris is leaving is like post this jump. And so like this is the jump, and like Eldoris is almost like holding on to Thorin a little bit to give him some extra air time as he is going, and then like upon the apex of this jump, Lee breaks away and Thorin goes diving into the river.
The way we do our maneuver is just that you explained. She kind of hooks onto the base of my collar at the nape of my neck, and then just opens her wings and lets the wind push her in whatever way. That way I can kind of track the wind back to wherever she ends up.
For sure. And you go diving in.
You bet.
In this way, they're not hoodwinked in that they don't know where you are, but you are now safely away from them for the time being.
Better be.
They're just like, they're dead, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't surface.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Because I'm under the docks, splayed out.
Thorin hits the water as you hear a loud boom happen from somewhere in, and it like thunders, and there's like with the hard smack into the water and then going clear under, not surfacing, you see a few naval officers go, ooh.
Ah, goddess above, what the?
You see Gabriella go, holy shit. Sorry. Forgive me, goddess. That was fucked. What was that?
And that is the kind of thing which led people to call him Thorin Ravenwing.
Absolutely. There are for sure several naval officers who looked up, and as you were soaring above them, only saw your silhouette and large raven wings above you as you made the jump.
That's so fucking sick. Holy shit.
Avery.
Yeah.
As you are standing here and all of these people watching in awe, with like the echoes dissipating of that boom, Gabriella turns and says, "You fucking see that?"
I'm not sure I did. That was quite a show.
That was fucking crazy. And before she can finish saying what she was going to say, you then start to hear subsequent booms in a chorus, one by one by one, starting on the opposite side of the port, making their way down and then again. And you see large explosions of colorful smoke and like sparks, like fireworks.
Yeah, the moment I put those together, I grab Gabriella and like dive away from I'm like, get the fuck out of here. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, no, you start saying boom, 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 boom as fireworks start going and colorful sprays start spreading across here, clouding this area in smoke. And you can hear like chaotic laughter coming from almost everywhere as you start to hear fighting break out, as people hidden amongst the crowd take off their costumes, revealing themselves to be Painted Fleet members, and start fighting off some of these naval officers, attempting to push them in the direction towards the river. You have Gabriella with you. What do you do?
I just like pulled her away from that box because I assumed that that one was gonna go off. Basically slam her to the ground with me to like get away from it. Yeah.
Absolutely. The two of you go diving away as the two soldiers who were like right there trying to pry it open get caught in the blast, and you see them go flying off into the river. And she goes, "What the fuck? Holy," and like starts like starting to get up, reaching for the weapon at her side, like preparing to go fight. She pulls you up along with her and says, "Avery, get to the ship," and like pushes you in the direction of her ship.
Is she like running off or okay?
Yeah, no, she runs off, taking the whip from her side, slinging it out and preparing to go fight alongside her blue coats.
But I can't. Okay, it's nice to see you as well. You're welcome. Like, I don't go toward her ship. I'm gonna stand down and wait until I see what's going on. Yeah, so I'm just going to hang back until I see something that's like, I need to get back to the ship, or like somebody needs help, or like,
I mean, there is chaos here.
Great. I'm gonna sneak my way back to the ship.
Yeah, no, 100% you can make your way back to the ship. Give me a break-in or out roll. Roll plus blood.
Okay, it's a 6.
So take plus 1 experience. And I think you like start like trying to like push your way like past like all of these people slashing at each other, like trying to fight.
Excuse me. Sorry.
And you, there's this portion where like you're like trying to make your way back to the ship, and like you're like trying to get past like the rope that separates the rest of the dock from like the cordoned off area that was like the special little kind of food court. When as you're like trying to pass by it, you get bumped into and like pushed like into the rope, like falling over it, as someone else falls over you, and it's Gabriella, who is like full on in the fight and like falls into you, and it's like, "What, Avery, what are you doing? I told you to get to the ship."
"I'm sorry. I'm trying. I'm sorry."
As you say that, you see Fontaneva on the side of the ship calling out, "Avery, get your ass back on the ship."
That's my call. It was so good to see you. I'm so sorry about all this. And I like run away before she could really say anything else.
She watches as you like kind of like stumble your way up and like run back onto the ship. And she watches you go off, making note of the ship that you're on. We are going to cut back to our three swimmers. Felix, Bryn, and Estefania. The three of you are swimming down into this kind of open cavern beneath the reflecting pool. Or it's like almost like a tunnel. It's a man-made tunnel, to be clear, as you are in a fort that is three stories tall.
It goes down and down and down, the brick around you slowly becoming stone as you do. You notice that there are air pockets kind of built into it as well, inlets in the sides of the walls for you all to be able to like swim into briefly, and like has like an opening inside of it so that you can like come up for air inside and then continue to like go back down and swim more. There's an inlet probably like every 10, 15 feet or so. And eventually you get to a point where it curves and starts going in a different direction, out towards the direction of the docks. And the three of you swim and swim and swim, and eventually you find yourselves coming out of kind of an exit hole in the side of the fort. And the three of you find yourselves coming out into... You can hear the sounds at the end of this tunnel, like, of fighting and, like, ruckus being had. And you all exit, and upon coming into the river, the three of you surface. Do you surface, like, from up under the docks, further into the river? Like, where do you surface?
I almost think, like, as soon as possible.
So probably closer to under the docks rather than... outside of.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Then yeah, you surface from under the docks, and as you come up, you like the muffled sounds of like fighting become so much clearer to you as you hear sword slashing, yelling, people being knocked off and like pushed into the river. You're seeing like from underneath the docks, you know, people like falling and like coming up and then like trying to make their way. Like so much is happening that like nobody is really paying attention to you. And you see a similar kind of like multicolored smoke filling the area as well, kind of clouding some of the view of like what's actually happening on like the other like tiers and like up on the docks. And as you're like getting a sense of it, Fontaneva comes up as well. And you look around and you see Thorin here as well, under the docks, trying to stay out of sight.
Felix just like catches like Thorin's eye and just like gives us a smile and a nod.
Thorin glares at all of you and just looks at you in a way that makes sure that you know if you make one sound right now.
I think that Bryn makes her way back to our ship.
Are you, like, under the water or, like, yeah. Like, I mean, I think the two of you still see the kind of ethereal image of Bryn. You see, like, the kind of semi-glowing stars within her hair as, like, shimmering as she passes by, heading in the direction of the Bois Perdu. I will say, for Felix, you see that Estefania is already starting to head in the direction of her ship, regardless of if you follow her or not.
I'm following her. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Thorin, you see that. You see that Felix is starting to head in the direction of this woman you do not know.
Yeah, I follow.
Okay. Felix, Thorin, and Estefania, the three of you are moving in the direction of the Painted Fleet ship. I think we're going to cut over to Bryn. As you are swimming over to the Bois Perdu, how do you get back onto the ship?
Come on, I gotta do it. I phase up through the bottom of it, through the decks, have like levitating through them, and I come up through the main deck, kind of levitating in front of the crew.
As you are floating up through the decks, you're passing by like people who are like getting the new supplies that they had just gotten, like making sure that those are all packed and like battened down before the big leave. And you're seeing them watch you like float up between the decks. And you just hear a few of them go, "Hey, Bryn," as they're like passing by you and you're going up. And eventually you do reach the main deck where Avery has just like stumbled onto the ship being pulled on by Fontaneva, away from where all of the fighting is happening on the docks.
Bryn like turns them both and is like, "Fontaneva, Avery, wonderful to see you. We must turn this ship starboard the other way, if you know what I mean. Can we please get the crew on the upper decks, please? As quick as possible." And Bryn like kind of like starts to move towards like the helm.
Yeah, I think you say that, and Fontaneva nods and immediately starts like calling out directions to all of the other crew members, and they start going away doing exactly what you want them to.
As the crew is raising anchor and we are turning the wheel and the sails are still up at this point, because you know, we're still maneuvering in port and they're pushing off of port. Our starboard side seems to fully face the blue coat ship. We are completely perpendicular to their vessel. Bryn looks to Fontaneva while she's sitting at the helm, and she's holding like the wheel as like tight as she can. She looks at Fontaneva and goes, "Would you mind readying the cannons?"
What the fuck is going on?
Fontaneva looks up and says, "You can't be serious."
"Oh, I'm quite serious." And like Bryn puts her hand on like the meteorite junk that is in the mast, and all of, like the covers for each of the cannons flings open, and the cannons roll out of the gun ports.
I think Fontaneva runs up and says, "Bryn, we can't do it. We can't. There are civilians out there."
Good God. My cover is absolutely blown. Our cover is absolutely blown. Everything's gone to shit.
It's okay.
Do what you're gonna do, Bryn. I don't think your friends are gonna be real happy with you.
The ship is being manipulated, and you have turned starboard towards them. You are in a position to reveal your cannons, if you would like. And you have the ability and this chance to get the upper hand on them and point your gun first to hopefully have them back off of you, or at the very least, antagonize them in some way, shape, or form.
Doing this, would this classify as something that you may call a dirty trick?
Yeah, no, I would call this a dirty trick. You aren't shooting at them yet. You're just showing your guns, being like, "Hey, fuck the fuck off."
If I'm not mistaken, I can use the move Star Caller. You follow the stars. Sometimes they follow you back. Whenever you wish to bless a crewmate or yourself, spend X luck and call upon an available constellation of the current season. If that crewmate attempts the constellation's associated move at any time before the next sunrise, they take +1 extra die. That is a 7.
Okay, on a 7 for use a dirty trick. Your trick works at a cost. So, I think it's in this moment that like there are people like still like fighting right on the docks, and some of the blue coats are making their way like fighting, like trying to get back onto the ship, and you see that there are quite a number of them who are like noticing now that like, oh shit, someone has their cannons aimed at us. A lot of the fighting like kind of stops as that happens. You see like some of the painted fleet are like taking this advantage to like run back to their ship now, as like blue coats are like kind of like starting to freak out a little bit. And you can hear on the port, you see Gabrielle, Anjali, who, whip in hand, who has it currently, like, around the neck of one of the Painted Fleet crew members, who calls out, "Aiming your weapons at a naval ship! That's grounds for execution, you realize!"
Bryn, like, comes over and, walks back to, like, and, like leaning over, like, the stern. And puts like both of her elbows on like the edge of the railing. Both of like her feet kind of like float, like her body like almost like is like floating as if she's like laying prone. And she kind of gives like a little wave to Gabrielle with like a single hand. And is like,
"I'd like to see you try to chop my head off. It'd be quite interesting. But it seems we've come to an impasse and I might have the upper hand. It might be in your best interest to let us and our friends at the end leave port without any issue, seeing that I imagine you don't want to lose any of your crew."
It seems like you're trying to parlay with her. Offer something and roll plus polish. Sounds like you're offering the lives of her crew.
We roll. Oh, shit, my ass.
You can spend luck to give yourself +1.
Yeah, no, I do definitely spend plus luck on this one. This is the one I need. That's a 6, baby.
That's another experience point for you. So there's that.
Oh, we're making waves, baby.
You see that she has like, she's like boot on the back of this Painted Fleet member, like whip around their neck, like pushing them against the ground and like holding the handle and like rest of the whip up. And she's like staring at you like daggers, a bloodthirst in her eyes. She would do anything to kill you right now, but knows that you currently have guns pointed at her ship and she does not have the upper hand. And you are for sure that you've got her against the wall here until you hear a sound coming from above. Hey, Captain! We've got her! And the two of you turn to look up and to see Captain Hano in the arms of six naval crew members. Like, it takes three of them to fucking hold her down. She is this big, broad woman. And she's, like, kind of, like, struggling as, like, three of them are holding her. Two of them have swords, one at her back and another, like, to the side, like, kind of pointed towards her gut in the case that she tries to run. And then one that's in front who's, like, kind of calling out. And, like, upon seeing this, Gabriella was like, well, how about this then? You get to go free, but we keep her.
Bryn stops hovering and goes back to her feet and has a much more less playful demeanor.
We're going to cut from there to the three others. Also, Avery, to be clear, you were on the ship witnessing all of that.
Yeah, no, I'm fully aware. I'm listening, but not looking. Because okay. She already saw me run on this ship, but I don't want to be associated with this as much as possible. Maybe she'll forget and all of this. She won't, but.
Yeah, no, for sure. Felix, Thorin, the two of you swam over to the Painted Fleet ship where Estefania began swimming to. This is, of course, a little earlier on. You all will be able to tell once we've caught up in the timeline. You all swam back over and Estefania begins to start fixing herself onto the poles of the docks to try to climb up onto the docks and then get onto the ship. I imagine you all follow?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So the three of you manage to climb your way onto the docks and onto this ship. I've described it before, but just to give you another description here. This ship, it's this kind of slim schooner. It's a scouting ship more than anything. It's not that big. Currently, sails are raised. It's not ready to leave. And there are slowly members of the crew are making their way back onto the ship, starting to make preparations to raise anchor and leave. And as you are rushing aboard, a few of them call out and salute to their captain, Estefania. You all also notice, strangely enough, as you all are coming up, her coat is dry. Her coat and robes are astonishing. Her hair is all kind of messed up and wet and her skin sopping, but all of her clothes completely dry. The two of you follow her aboard, and some of the other crew members look kind of they're about to draw weapons seeing the two of you enter, and she raises her hand to be no, they're with me, or at least he is, and turns to you, Thorin. I don't know who you are.
Oh, he's with me.
Hello, my name is Thorin. I am the lesser of two evils. It's nice to meet you.
Uh-huh. And she will go out and grab your hand. You feel that despite not being able to really see any scales, something holding her hand feels rough. It's got that texture of scale without actually looking like it. You wanted to know what was in this then? And kind of pulls the scroll back out of her coat.
Yes.
Could care less at the moment, but go on.
Fine. And we'll motion for you to follow her. Again, there's so much fucking chaos going on. There are people fighting colored smoke. And as soon as she's on board, she's like, all right, we're good. As soon as we can leave, we can and will. And I feel fine, in control of this situation. And she walks back to her captain's quarters. The two of you follow her back into the small little cabin. It's got a really simple bed with plain looking cotton sheets, but it's also got huge bookcases flanking not just flanking, like covering every wall. There are shelves and parts of it where bookcases can't fit. And every single bookshelf is completely lined side to side with books. And there's like this kind of net that is over it to prevent the books from like falling out of the bookshelf. And like ropes along the shelves for the books that aren't in bookcases. And there's this big table in the middle of the room, or a desk, like covered, and like there's a map and then, but there's also just like loose sheets of paper and such. And she kind of moves them aside. All of the paper have writing and such on it. And I think if any of you took a closer look at them, you would see that it's all poetry. Either finished or non-finished, scrapped or revised, just kind of covering this table. And she moves them aside and takes out the scroll case, pops open the metal cap of it, and kind of like flings it out of the case and onto the table in front of you, where this map unrolls.
Just to have it be known, before we go back in with her, the first thing that Thorne would do is pull a mirror, a small mirror, from his waistband and just kind of affix it on the ledge of the ship or this or that. It can kind of hook itself into things. It's got a bluish tint to it, so it'll create a bluish shimmer from the distance. That is me and Eldoris, so that she can kind of find her way back.
Okay, cool. So yeah, you are all in here when she flings out this map from the scroll, and it unrolls itself onto the table. And I mean, you thought it was a map, right? It seems less like it now that you're looking at it. It's instead this kind of old piece of parchment with a dotted line around the edges of the map with red writing on each of the sides. It is written in Belanusian, which you can read, Felix, and on it reads a riddle. Play my music if you dare. Turn my crank, although I'm square. Stand back or get a scare when you see my surprising glare.
Felix reads this and is immediately like a little bit under his breath, is just like, play my music if you dare. Turn my crank, although I'm square. Stand back here, get a scare. Your surprising glare. He's coming up with a little tune to it.
Well, here's the thing. You're not coming up with this tune because you know this tune. This is a song, a Belanusian song. It's for children. It is tied to this old story about Jacques in the box, a Belanusian spirit. They're almost like a spirit of judgment, even. It is the story of an old, like, leader, king, depending on the story, you know, it kind of changes. But this person, or they're kind of like a rat, right? Or a weasel, even, where they were not a good person, really shitty, and someone that they wronged summoned Jacques to pass judgment on them. And this spirit followed this leader, this king, judging their every action, until decided, yeah, no, this person is bad, and killed them. And similarly, the song that you're singing goes to the toy, right, of Jacques in the Box. A children's toy that people played with, very similar to a Jack in the Box, as we would know it as the audience. There is a separate thing here. Children have also kind of made up this kind of game that they do, like Bloody Mary, where kids challenge each other to summon Bloody Mary to be able to be like, oh, are you good or are you bad? Is Jacques going to get you? That kind of deal. And the way that they do it is that they would take a piece of glass or like a mirror or something. They will like breathe into it to create a fog, and they will sing the song, the Jacques in the Box song, as they drew a box and then wrote Jacques in the middle.
Ready to get your hands dirty and stuff some creds in your pocket? Then get ready for Cyber Plus Punk Overload, the first official expansion of the award-winning sci-fi action TTRPG, Cyber Plus Punk. This game is powered by a super condensed version of John Harper's Forged in the Dark system, made specifically for action-packed one-shot sessions. Cyberplus Punk puts you in the boots of a runner, living on the edge and stalking the shadows of a gritty, ultra-violent world full of megacorps, mercs, and pigs, all looking to f*** you over. And guess what? You've got one last run. Overload is a collection of 16 new scenarios that drop you into mega prisons, reality TV shows, time loops, Badlands, and even the Netscape. Plus, you get additional add-ons, including gear catalogs, new plug-in rule sets, and complete settings, all bundled into three sleek thematic packs. Ain't that just grand? And if that's not enough, if you back Cyberplus Punk Overload on Kickstarter, you can even get an exclusive hollow foil sleeve, making it seamless to take your game anywhere you're going. Now what the f*** are you waiting for? Go to Kickstarter now and back Cyberplus Punk Overload. And good luck, runner. You're gonna need it.
Your next favorite game is on My First Dungeon.
Hello and welcome to My First Dungeon. Hello and welcome to My First Dungeon. Ho, 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 and welcome to My First Dungeon.
From Sad Space Cowboys.
Kamari takes out a lighter from their pocket and goes, this bar's next.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Let's go.
To Death Metal Viking Cats.
Hello Kitty, you see Melody Tuffington flying through the air, jacked as shit, massive legs, to horny snowmen?
The sad part is that Joshua never gave Frosty a penis.
No.
And everything in between.
It was a dark and stormy night.
We've got something for everyone.
You're a special Gertrude girl in a special Gertrude world. Happy birthday, happy birthday. I'm not a skeleton.
Learn the game, then hear it in action.
That's Snake Eyes minus two. That's a zero.
Snake Eyes, that means that we have our very first plot twist. Anytime somebody rolls doubles, we get a plot twist.
So grab some headphones.
And get lost in a story with us.
I'll be honest, I don't know all the rules of it. We'll kind of figure that out as we go. But do you want to just play? I've got some great stories to tell you.
And remember,
if you're having fun, you're already doing it right.
Oh, fuck!
I think Felix just like looks at this and is just remembering all this information and then just looks at Estefania and just goes, aha.
Well, that wasn't what I was expecting. Not much of a map, is it?
Feels quite frivolous, to be honest with you, given what's going on.
If what Sergio said is true and this is, in fact, something that was an artifact of Tordonette's, I'm not surprised. She was said to be quite a trickster, isn't the right word. Trickster has a playful attitude towards things.
What do you gather from this, Estefania? May I call you Estefania?
I would prefer you, sure, why not?
Thorin walks out of the room to go sit by the mirror.
Okay, cool. The fighting is going on. There are people running past you as you've kind
and
of
he's
found
also
yourself.
Just kind of like hunkered down, kind of looking around at what's going on. Looking for Eldoris, looking back over, seeing kind of what's going on. While you two chum it up.
Estefania goes, it's a riddle of some kind. I'm not familiar with it, nor do I intend to entertain it. And you see she reaches into her coat again and pulls out a book, a different one from the one before. And you see she opens it, and I think if like Felix like took like a peek to see like what's in it, they're all blank pages. And she begins to recite something as if it were poetry and touch her hand upon the map. And as she does, I think you see like writing begins to appear on the book where text should be. And even like, I think you start to see like glimpses of like an image of the page itself, but with a map filled in the box where currently there's nothing on the actual map. And after like the pages like start to like fill out a little bit, she closes it, like snaps it shut and goes, "All right, I've gotten what I need. You can take it."
Excellent. He pulls out his pipe and he takes a long drag of the pipe, holding in the smoke. He says, "I would like that page you just created, though."
"I think you and I both know that I won't be giving it over," as she tucks it into her coat and takes out another book.
He says, "See this," he holds up the scroll. "This isn't very useful, is it?"
"Nor is a book."
"Oh, but I saw you had a little more information than what was just visible on this little piece of paper. And I would like to know what that information is."
"Take the map and you can find it yourself. This is your last warning. Take the map and go."
Felix begins to walk out, but right as he is like leaving, he turns back and just says, "I'll ask one more time, and how things go will be determined by the answer to this question, but will you share with me what you have found?"
You hear her say, "A garden of words, a flower yet picked. Now is the time to close your eyes." And she reaches towards the book, rips out a page, and as she does, it begins to fold and bend itself almost as if like origami and fold itself into the shape of a gun that she points at you.
Felix, only now, exhales the smoke, and I'm gonna roll, and we're gonna see what happens here.
Are you using one of your powers?
I am using Dark Magician, yes.
Okay, cool.
Oh my god.
Bold move for someone who doesn't know what it's gonna be.
No, it's like the universe wants me to do all the fucked shit I'm planning on doing.
What'd you get?
Yeah, I got a 13.
Okay, on a 10 plus, you choose which one you want. Don't forget to spend luck for this.
Yes, I'm spending 2 luck.
Oh, okay.
I'm choosing the second option here.
Oh my shit.
And here's what happens. Fuck. Is the smoke just sort of like drafts upward. He just like watches it and follows it with his hands. And then he snaps his fingers and the smoke turns into fire.
Okay, great. Cool. We're going to cut really quick over to Thorin. Thorin, you are on the ship.
I am on the ship. Thank you.
You're
for
looking
noticing.
Around as, and I think what's happening is as you are like kind of sitting out here watching as like people are starting to hang over, I think that's when you start noticing that your ship is moving.
Yeah.
That's when you start seeing Bryn manipulate the ship. You see like the slow movement, and I'm imagining as like
Christ.
You see it move, and then you hear the sounds of the boards moving and the cannons coming out, and then you start hearing the shouting back and forth between Bryn. And is there anything that you're doing as that is happening?
As Ulduris heeded our call.
Yeah, I think like it's around this point that Ulduris like flies down towards you, lands like perches next to you on the side of the ship.
All right, I kind of picks her up, gets her back on the shoulder, kind of brushes his head next to her, looks back over, and just kind of waits to see what happens next, but then also starts to hear a bit. I feel like as they've walked out, they've gotten a little bit more agitated, and then does a double take back towards Felix as well, and so is now looking that way.
And as you look back towards there, that's when you hear the, "Captain, we got her!" And then you see them rolling out, Captain.
Yes, and then I look up and I see Hanno on a ledge.
I'm just imagining Thorin, like, looking back and forth between where the ship is and where Felix is. And just every time he turns his head, things get progressively worse.
Progressively worse. No, what you're saying is there's the one good thing. Eldorus has returned. He's put the blue mirror back into his waistband, given her a quick cuddle, putting her back on his shoulder, has already seen the horse shit that Bryn has pulled, looks back at Felix, sees you getting saucy with Estefany, hears "we got her," looks up and sees Hanno, and then feels what I imagine is heat on his heels.
Getting to that, it's around Captain Hanno comes out. That's when you start hearing like them like shouting back and forth, you know, "Oh, you know, we've got your captain, yada, yada, yada. You know, we'll let you go, but we've got her, you know, or we can have this fight right here and now." And then that's when you hear the sound of ignition, of a vacuum being lit aflame, and you turn to see and feel the wave of heat bursting out of the room that Felix was just in.
It's like you're a fucking father, and like you see like one of your kids like in the living room, like holding a bow and arrow at one of the other kids, and then like you're like, hey, don't do that. And you turn around and you go, "Hey, what's going on here?" And then like one of the kids is like on top of the fridge and like drops the cookie jar and it shatters on the floor.
And the other one's holding a lit match.
I have one child. Her name is Eldorus, and she's perfect. And all of you can go to hell.
Eldorus is the kid sitting at the table just like eating breakfast.
And the dad, seeing all of this, just goes, "What you eating, El?" "Oh, that looks good."
Right. So the fire has just started. What do you do?
So worst case scenario, this does nothing, I feel like. What I want is to take either some pages of a book, or more likely a twig, or like a piece of ship, or something that is on fire that will fall when dropped and still be on fire. What I would like to do is give that to Eldorus.
So you would have to run into the burning room with Felix.
Give it to Eldorus, have her fly up and drop it on the people, and hopefully give Hanno a way to wriggle free.
So you run in there. Felix, you are standing there, pipe in hand. The room, because you blew the smoke up first, the ceiling is what primarily is on fire. And it is slowly engulfing the rest of this room as well. Sadly, including all of these books and all of like the bookshelves. You are watching as like Estefania is like watching in horror as the fire around begins to spread across the room. And she immediately drops the gun, which like unfolds into just a sheet of paper as soon as it falls to the ground, and like runs to her books and are like desperately like trying to save things. She's like, "No, my work!" And like is like immediately like trying to get books and like put them in her coat. But like there's so many, like you are watching as she desperately is trying to save any of this. Thorin, that is what you run into the room as like Felix, you're just standing here like as that starts to play out.
I have just seen my captain held captive. Bryn's doing something super dumb, trying to not have my captain be unalived. All I care about is executing my plan. That's to grab a book that's as far away from anybody else. I'm not talking to anybody. I am grabbing a book, giving it to Eldorus, and sending her to fly.
Okay, cool. Easy. Done. You run in, pass. You just... you try to grab a book and like... I mean, you can easily just go to one of the other books that she's not at. And
exactly, yeah.
So yeah, easy.
Felix just goes, "Oh, hello, Thorin."
I do not talk to you.
Yeah. You're trying to get them to let go of Captain Hanno?
Right. I'm hoping that she... Oh, a big black bird just dropped a flaming book. Takes her, shoots her shot. This is all I can do for her.
Yeah, it seems like you are using a dirty trick. Roll plus vinegar for me.
9.
Okay, cool. On a hit, your trick works, but at a cost. So, Eldoris flies up above, carrying this flaming book in her talons, and she, like, precisely, like, drops it at the right point so that the physics, it, like, bam, smashes one of the guys in the face who, like, falls backwards.
Perfect child.
Letting go of just, let's go of her left hand, or her left hook, I should say. And she uses that to immediately, like, right into, like, the neck of one of the soldiers on her right arm, causing him to, like, let go, and then just gets in, like, an all-out brawl with these six guys fighting as she's making her way down the stairs towards the docks. Felix, what are you doing in this burning room?
Oh, leaving.
Okay, cool. What are you taking with you, I guess? There's the map that's still on the table. The book that she has, she still has her book. She's currently fumbling with a bunch of different books, so you could possibly use this chance to, like, try to, like, fight her for the book, but you're also in a burning room. So, there's that.
I don't think anything will come of this, but the page that she used to turn into a gun, I want to grab that. I don't think I could do anything with it, but I think it's fun to have. I think, like, I don't know if he would, like... No, you know what? Yeah, no. Yeah, that's exactly what Felix is going to do, is he's going to try to get the book from her.
Okay, cool. I think this is just, like, a fight. I think you're just fighting her. There's not really anything else here. Is this just fisticuffs that you're doing here?
I think so, probably, yeah. Because despite everything that I've done so far, I'm not trying to kill her.
Yeah, no, so. That's fair. Roll plus blood.
That is a 7.
All right, on a 7 and a 9, you stumble, trade blows, or put yourself in a bad position. Your choice.
I think probably trade blows.
Okay, cool. I think you're both just going to take one harm from this. The two of you are fighting in this burning room. It is getting so bad in here. I do want to be clear about this. The fire has now spread, like, down, like, to, like, down the walls, coating the books. She's had to drop books because, like, you've essentially tackled her. And I'm imagining, like, both of you on the ground, like, trying to fight it out here. The fire is beginning to spread to the rest of the ship. Thorin, are you still on the ship after you've called out to Eldoris to go do the thing?
Waits to make sure that Eldoris is okay. She's dropped it. She's coming back. Seeing that she's coming back, I'm assuming. Looks back to see what Felix is doing. Is disappointed immediately. And says, Felix, we're gone. We're leaving. And starts to leave. And whether Felix chooses to follow or not is up to him. Gets off the ship and starts booking it towards Hanno.
Felix, I mean, not directly responding to Thorin, but turns to Stephanie amid scuffle, takes out his pipe, and just says, you've lost enough. If you don't want to lose any more, I suggest you hand over one little page.
You will get nothing from me. What you will instead get is a watery grave after I rip you limb from limb, and will, like, try to go for your throat. Is there anything you do?
He says, oh, all you had to do was comply with one little simple request, but now you'll have to face the consequences. And he runs out of the room and onto the ship, and I'm imagining as he's running, the fire is, like, trailing behind him. And when he's on the ship, I think, like, because the fire is, like, on the floor of the ship, and I think he just, like, is kind of directing it with his hands and directs it to the sails of the ship.
Okay, cool. We are going to cut over to Bryn and Avery. The two of you very quickly have lost control of the situation.
I never had a semblance of control of the situation. What are you talking about?
The moment where you started to, like, come up, change your disposition, and in a way, like, trying to, like, finding a way to converse, that is when everyone notices the other ship is on fire. there's a fire starting, and then, like, as, like, both you and, like, all of the blue coats, like, turn to look and see that, that is when, like, you, Bryn, probably see Eldoris flying up from the other ship, dropping a book, and then Captain Hano starting to fight her way off. And then that's when Gabriella's like, fuck, okay, I've also lost control of the situation.
I'm going to use Twist Fate, and I don't have a direct answer of how it's going to do it yet, so we're going to do Twist Fate.
Roll plus Spitfire.
Whew, that's a 13, baby.
Oh my god.
All right, you don't have to spend luck. Choose one of the options.
I think the weather and the weather, the wind, or the tides change. How do they help? I think that almost out of nowhere, a crack of lightning goes across the sky. As this is happening, Bryn is holding onto the ship and becoming partly ethereal like she had done before. And as she's doing this, the crack of lightning goes across the sky and thunders across the fort. And strong gales and heavy rain seem to come out of nowhere. And it starts to rock the ship of the Union, as well as the people that are on the dock are kind of being pushed around by the wind. Making it more difficult to maneuver on the dock safely as everything is slick and there's strong winds.
Wonderful. Cool, cool, cool. Well, as Thorin and the captain are on the docks, Thorin, you are able to meet up with the captain at the base of the stairs. A storm has just come out of nowhere. Rain, wind, and thunder, and everything that comes with it. The wood of the docks becoming slick with the rain. The blue coats are trying to make their way back onto the ships past like all of like the other like painted fleet that are also trying to do so. The ships beginning to rock from the weight of the storms. Captain Hano runs up to you. All right, let's get out of here. Time to go.
No, yeah, I take her hand and we are booking it for the clear story.
Is there any chance that with that flavor, I could also state that the gangplank and the plank that would lead up into the Union ship falls? And so like the connecting piece that connects the Union ship to the dock.
You did roll a 13.
I will say, because it says how do they help, and so I need something that is at least somewhat helpful.
Okay, cool. Yeah, no, totally. The gangplank for the Union ship, shaken by the rocking of the boat, falls loose and like tumbles into the river below, taking a few of the blue coats along with it.
I think that Bryn, like, looks at Gabriella and, like, blows her a little kiss. But when she blows, instead of, like, when she actually blows, like, legitimate, like, stardust and, like, astral, like, bits, like, fly, like, as if they're, like, blowing from her hand.
Very cool. You see Anjali turns, looks at you with a scowl, mutters under her breath, "Witch!" and, like, will run to, like, help her crew. Running past Thorin and Captain Hano. As the two of you, the ship moved, but I imagine that the crew on the ship are moving the gangplank like off the end of the ship and onto the
dock. Or they're like dropping like ropes or something.
Yeah, exactly, or, like, for you all to be able to get on board. Felix, there is rain and thunder pouring down on the ship, but your strangely arcane fire somehow continues to roar and snake along the ship, growing and following the path that you trace as you are seemingly, are you like trapping her inside?
Yeah, basically.
Okay, yeah, 100%. You essentially like create a wall of flame as you see her inside of the room, like still grabbing and clutching onto her books as the flames begin to overtake the room, trapping her inside until you can no longer see her past the flames and smoke.
I just like shout into the room, like, one last chance.
You can't. She's gone.
Well, good day then. And I leave.
Yeah, no, you see that you start running past the rest of the painted crew who are, like, trying to, like, put out the flames. Like, a few of them, like, see their captain in there and, like, want to get past. But, like, the walls of flame continue to grow and spread across the ship as you make your way off of the gangplank.
Before I leave, I pause for a moment and I say to the crew, I hope you have enjoyed this performance of Lunulata. I will see you all again, and I take a little bow.
As you, like, bow and come back up, you hear a voice, very familiar.
Very theatrical of you.
You know me.
I guess I do. Better get going, then. Storms are brewing.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yeah, and I leave.
You make your way down the dock and onto the ship in the same way that everyone else is. Avery, you are there standing there kind of... are you, like, helping them on board? I'm imagining they threw ropes overboard so that people could climb up and climb on.
Totally. I mean, if somebody's given me something to do, I'm immediately doing it to help. I'm like,
no one is asking you to do anything.
Yeah, no.
No, but... I want to be clear. No one's asking you to do anything. I am asking, does Avery do something without being prompted?
Yeah. Like, if okay. I see something that I can do, I'm going to do it. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, you see them trying to climb aboard.
Great. Throwing over, yeah, rope or something like that to help them.
For sure, for sure.
Felix, when Felix gets aboard, he points to the other ship and says to Avery, "I set that ship on fire. Did you see?"
I could see it's on fire. Good job, maybe. Glad you're back.
Oh, thank you. And then he walks away.
Avery's, like, thinking in the back, because it's like, he's got issues.
He's got problems.
Thorin holds himself over the edge of the ship, looks up to see Avery and goes, "Ugh, my son." And then just kind of gently says that and just walks past. And I mean, at this point, three harm, angry, exhausted. That's all he's got. But wanted to give him a little bit of reassurance.
If Thorin has passed me, and I obviously could see that Thorin's in a state, I'm immediately going to latch onto that. Oh my gosh, can I... We need to get you down to the medical bay. Oh my goodness.
I think Thorin just follows Avery. Yeah, I'm toast at this point.
Okay, cool. As Avery helps Thorin onto, or towards the it's more of a room. It's just a room. The medical room.
Below deck in a corner, yeah, let's be honest.
The doc's office. And I think Captain Hano is the last person to get on board. She wanted to make sure, you know, everybody, you know, got on board safely. She wraps the rope around one hand, kind of pulls herself on, and, like, the other crew, like, pull her up.
Brynnis, in particular, goes over to help Hano on board.
Yeah, you help her on board, and she goes, "Well, this didn't go any way that I wanted it to go, but... we're good. We're safe. Let's get the fuck out of here."
"Yeah, of course. What are we setting course for?"
"Out of here. out of here. Open sea. We'll figure it out while we're out there."
"Understood." And Bryn, like, goes and, like, readies, like, the sails and everything with the rest of the crew. But, like, before she leaves, she turns around, she, like, turns back to Hano and is like, "I'm glad you're safe, Captain. Thank you."
I think, like, as you, like, keep going, she turns around, smiles, and then turns back and walks over to Felix. "All right, you better have a good reason for why you disappeared."
And he pulls out the map.
"All right, reason enough." And she grabs it and says, "We'll take a look at this once we're safe. All right, everybody, raise anchor. Let's get the fuck out of here." And you all do exactly that as the Bois Perdue hoists anchor, sails lower, and you all pull out of port in the middle of this storm, strangely unshaken by wave and rain and wind, and you set sail down the river and back out to sea. And that is where we're going to end this session. Wow.
Damn.
Events have occurred.
Let's very quickly go through end of session stuff. Starting off at the top, we have Marcy, also known as Bryn. Big question for you, Brynster. Did you defeat a major foe, gain significant treasure, or accomplish one of your character's goals during this session?
I will say Did I defeat a major foe? I don't think so. Did I get significant treasure? Yeah, I don't think so. Did I accomplish my goal? I think Bryn's goal was to ensure that all the crew returned safe and to get some sort of insight to the spread and the way that, like, artifacts of her religion are being used and seen across the world. And so I think in that and being in the city and getting interactions and knowing that this collector had and wanted Belanushin artifacts, I think that is an accomplishment of a goal.
Okay, cool. You get to embark one experience, add one to your rank with someone, or clear all your weaknesses.
I'm going to add one more experience, I think.
Okay, cool. Felix, did you defeat a major foe, gain significant treasure, or accomplish one of your character's goals during this session?
I'm very tempted to say yes to all of those.
I would agree with that. Yeah, Felix was very busy this session.
Yeah.
Rambunctious lad.
Okay, cool. Mark one experience or add one to your rank with someone or clear all your weaknesses.
I'm going to mark an experience.
Go for it. Avery, did you defeat a major foe, gain significant treasure, or accomplish one of your character's goals during this session?
No to the first two and... probably no to the last one as well. My goal was to survive this encounter and help in any way I could, but I didn't really help and we're barely surviving, so I'm gonna say no.
Okay.
We're all back alive, baby.
We are all back alive. Thorin, did you defeat a major foe, gain significant treasure, or accomplish one of your character's goals during this session?
I said it was one of my goals to get us all back in one place safe. I did that through much harm to myself.
All right. Mark one experience, add one ranked with someone, or clear all your weaknesses.
I'm going to mark experience and, if anything, lose rank with Bryn.
I mean, you can't lose rank. I know. Just not in this way. But yeah,
I understand. But yeah, I'm going to mark experience.
I still have bedeviled, which is cleared by, quote, a hard-won moment of humanity. I don't know how that's going to happen.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, I agree. That didn't happen. All right. That is it. Thank you all so much for listening, everyone. This has been one hell of a start of this adventure. And there's still more to go, baby. Much more chaos to be had. Will all of it be as explosive as this one? Who's to say? I don't know. But again, thank you all so much for listening. Let's just do a quick round off. Marcy, where can people find you on the internet?
They can find me on Twitter or Twitch at Soapy Squid. That's SoapySquid. Yeah, and I really appreciate you all for listening. Thank you so much.
Amazing. Gus, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me on the internet at August_Nobby. That's KNOBBE. I do music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Hilda, where can people find you on the internet?
You can go follow our Discord and the Twitter at Tales Yet Told.
Fuck yeah, baby. And Ellis, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter at HorrorWriter, WHORE_OR_writer. Sometimes I post art. Mostly I bring the same kind of energy that I have here.
Amazing. And as always, you can find me everywhere on the internet at Kendo Makes Films. And yeah, just like Hilda said, you can find us, this podcast, on Twitter and Instagram at Tales Yet Told, where you will get all information and yada yada yada. You know the deal. But you know what's more important? That you go out, eat enough food, drink enough water, get enough sleep, and take care of yourself, because self-care is very important. And don't forget to love yourself like we love you. Bye.
Love you guys. Take care.
Bye.
Don't burn down ships.